The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You are tuned in to Tuesday's edition of the Racing Podcast. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. In the meantime though, my name is Sam Norris and I'm in the company of Sean Quinn to take a look at the Racing Post Monday Jury, as is tradition on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, and also take a look at three races from tomorrow from Leicester. How are you today, Sean?
Very well, thank you. Sam, yourself?
Yeah, I'm in good shape, thank you. Looking forward to the Ebor meeting, obviously,
yeah,
which is
absolutely
pretty much the subject of the Monday Jury, as you might expect.
Are you going?
No, I'm in here all week. I was in here all week for Goodwood as well.
So, right.
Yeah.
I suppose in many ways they're the worst places to be, because here we've got the racing on
all over
the place.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the good thing when I was in here with Goodwood, I could catch Galway as well, which was a rarity for
a lot
of people. But yeah, Ebor takes the full focus this week. We'll move on to the Monday Jury then. First question up is, assuming Australia shows up, which we believe that he will, as it says in the post this morning, will he win the Judmont International? 8-13 favourite at the time of recording, and Joseph O'Brien has infused this morning in the paper about how excited he is to ride the horse.
Yeah, amazing that he's going to do the weight to ride the horse, Sam. Of course, he's got to get down to 8 stone 12. Let's not forget that yesterday afternoon he put up overweight at 9 stone, rode at 9 stone one. So
yeah,
he'll be living on fresh air for the next couple of days, I'd imagine. But yeah, of course, you'd want to ride this horse. He's a fantastic racehorse, a dual Derby winner. So you can see why he'll stretch to ride him. And he looks to hold excellent claims, doesn't he? Taking on the older horses in Mukadram and Telescope. But both those horses are very much beatable. And I think he is going to be a tough nut to crack. Mukadram, of course, is a very good horse, an Eclipse winner, but he got the run of the race round Sandown, didn't he? Things worked out for him ideally that day.
Yeah.
That's not to take anything away from the horse. He's a very, very good horse, but history tells us that when he takes on the very best, he tends to find one or two too good, as was the case at Ascot last time out in the King George when he was beaten three lengths by Takaruda back in third. Telescope fits a similar mould. He was beaten three lengths in that same said race at Ascot, finishing second behind Tagruda. That would suggest there'll be absolutely nothing between Mukadram and Telescope once again. I think Telescope will come out on top of the two of those older horses, but I think Australia, in receipt of the weight for age, getting £8 off his elders, will run out the winner.
Yeah, I think it could very much be a case of Telescope and Mukadram are very good horses, but Australia potentially a great horse.
Yeah.
Is the difference between the main three in the betting
odds. Yeah, and just, you know, three-year-olds have a decent record in this. You know, when the last time we had a Derby winner win it was back in 09, See the Stars. Now, he was a super racehorse, of course, but 07, we had another Derby winner in Authorised win it. So, in recent times, it has proven a good stepping stone for Derby winners.
Yep, fair enough. And move on to the next question, which is, who do you fancy in Wednesday's other big race? This one, of course, the great Voltigeur, and Kingston Hill is the 13-8 market leader at the time of recording. Is he the one for you, or are you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I think the ground is going to ride nice at York on the opening day. Of course, York drains very well. We've had plenty of rain, though, haven't we? It's officially good at the moment. And I think I think it will probably ride like that. We might get a couple of showers over the next few days, but nothing too heavy or severe. Kingston Hill has the form to win this Group 2 contest. Of course, he was beaten by Australia in the Derby, but was only beaten a length and a quarter. He ran a cracking race. Last time out in the Eclipse, he finished fourth behind Mukadram, but he ran a mighty race, didn't he? Because, as we were saying, the Eclipse was a funny race. The horses that filled the first three positions were in the first three throughout. Kingston Hill did best of those that were held up that day, and who knows how he'd have shaped if he'd have been ridden closer to the pace. Ryan Moore takes the ride on him because Andrea Azzeni is claimed to ride postponed for his boss, Sheikh Mohammed Obaid Al Maktoum. The Luca Kumani horse is an improving type. He won the The listed Braveheart Stakes up at Hamilton the last time out, beating Double Bluff. That form looks very strong now, given what Double Bluff has come out and done subsequently. He beat him 3.5 lengths. I don't think you could rule out a big run from Postpone. He's going to need to take his form to another level here, though. Snow Sky is another intriguing horse of Sir Michael Stout's. This horse was a winner at Lingfield back in May. Won the Derby trial there, beating Hartnell by a couple of lengths. Of course, Hartnell has improved subsequently, but he's improved when tackling longer trips, Hartnell. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, will this drop back to 1.5 miles really suit Mark Johnson's charge? And of course, Snow Sky was a winner at Glorious Goodwood last time out over this trip, beating Winshire by a neck. He's a progressive horse. I wouldn't rule out a big run.
Wasn't a fantastic race, though, that one, was it? I mean, you could throw a blanket over the finishes, really, at the end. They all finished in a massive sort of clump, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. As you say, a head and a neck separated the first two. There was a length and three parts of a length, then back to the fourth and fifth, and it mightn't have been the strongest race in the world. An interesting contender, I think, could be Aidan O'Brien's charge, Grand Duke of Tuscany, a horse who we know very little about, but he was a winner last time out at Tipperary by 19 lengths. He couldn't have won in more impressive fashion. He's an unknown quantity coming into this, coming straight from a maiden into a group two, but yeah. Any horse that wins a maiden by 19 lengths is worthy of the utmost respect. The ground was on the easy side that evening when he won in Tipperary. We'll see how he handles that slightly quicker ground, but it shouldn't be a problem for him. But on all known form, Kingston Hill is the one to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Grand Duke of Tuscany there. The bookmaker's given him plenty of respect and installed as the 6-1 co-second favourite with us here at William Hill. We'll move on then to the next question and the next big race, really, of the Ebor meeting. Will you be with or against the favourite Soul Power in the Nunthorpe? He's currently 3-1 at the time of recording, with 7-1 the field. Can you be with him?
You certainly couldn't say that he won't win, could you? He's a super horse, isn't he, this Soul Power? And he's as good as ever at the age of 7 now. Of course, he's a past winner of this, won this race as a young horse back in 2010. He was a 3-year-old. He was a shock winner at the time, a 100-1 winner, but what he's done subsequently has proven that was no fluke.
Yeah.
He's suited by these races where they go flat out and he's able to come off at a quick pace. Johnny Murta got such a good tune out of him for so many years. Of course, with him no longer riding, I think he's found another perfect partner in Richard Hughes. He just looks tailor-made aboard this horse. Give him a beautiful ride, it has to be said, in the King Standard at Royal Ascot. And he is the best horse in the race, no doubt about that. Whether conditions will be absolutely ideal for him, I'm not sure. He might prefer a stiffer 5 furlongs as he's got a little bit older. The best of his recent form has come at Ascot and Newmarket, two stiffer tracks than York, certainly. But I wouldn't be laying him if I were a bookmaker. I'd be keen to have him on side. So, I think he is the one they have to beat. Anthem Alexander is fascinating. Is she an intended run of the 2-year-old filly? Stablemate, of course, the Soul Power. Eddie Lynham has an embarrassment of riches in the sprinting division. She's held in the highest regard. She missed an engagement last week over in Ireland in that Group 1 race won by Dick Whittington, the Phoenix Stakes. Mm. I think she'd be an interesting contender. Just having a look elsewhere. Hot Streak, he'll have conditions to suit, and you know, he's a very, very good horse, Hot Streak. Any rain would aid his course. Yeah. Cause if the ground was soft, he'd have to be a big player, Kevin Ryan's horse. David Griffiths, wouldn't it be great for him to bag a Group 1? Of course, he's got Take Cover here, a 7-1 shot with us at William Hill at the moment. This horse was a winner last time out at Glorious Goodwood, beating Extortionist to neck, and of course he was a winner on the Knavesmire over 5 furlongs, 2 starts back, so we know that this course and distance suits him down to the ground. Henry Candy drops Music Master back to 5 furlongs. It'll be interesting to see whether he has the speed to drop back to 5 furlongs. The jury's a little bit out for me for that. So I think Soul Power is the one to be against. Of course, as I say, the race will be even more interesting if the 2-year-old filly Anthem Alexander does take her place in the lineup.
Plenty of stuff to go at in that race. Of course, I'm looking forward to the next race that we'll come to, and rather tongue-in-cheek, who do you like in the easiest race of the meeting, the Ebor? And just to show how easy it is, the 5 people that they've got in the Racing Post this morning and have posed this question to have all picked 5 different horses.
No surprise there, really, Sam, is it? No, Just of course, we had another forfeit stage for the Ebor this morning. So a couple of horses have dropped out of the race, but none of the main protagonists, which is good news for those people who might have had an anti-post better. Palisator is still in the race, still tops the betting with us at 3-1. My goodness, that's mightily skinny, isn't it, for a horse in a 20-runner handicap?
Just seems to keep getting shorter and shorter. Every time I look at the prices, every time I take them off the site and bring them back, he seems to be in it shorter, because it's 8-1 Havana Cooler behind him now, 10s for Clever Cookie and Mighty R. Bold Sniper and Van Persie at 12s. Quick Jack's dropped out to 14-20. He was chalked up at around
Quick Jack won't get in.
Around the 10-1 shot.
Where are we? Just trying to find him here on the down on the list. We've got Swinnemore, who needs 15 to drop out, Sam, as we speak, to get in the race. And then you've got Quick Jack, who's a full 12 or 13 below him.
Oh, okay. There
he's going to need 27 or 8 horses to drop out. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So do not back Quick Jack, because you'll be doing your money, in my opinion. I'd be keen to take on Palisator in this race. I think he's an interesting horse. He's progressive, but he's far too short. He's a horse who sweats up before his races, and there's quite a rigmarole for a horse before running at York. It's quite a long lead up. The racecourse stables are at the other side of the track. Horses have to walk across the track. It's not uncommon for horses to get warm, and many of them do lose their race before they're even in the stalls. Now, I'm not suggesting that will happen with Palisator, but it's possible it could happen. He might boil over. And he just looks a touch on the slow side.
Yeah.
For me to be backing him at 3-1. I think looking down the bed in Mighty R, I'd respect him. He ran in a very good race at York last time out, finishing second. Retirement Plan, he was a winner at Ascot last time out. But we bought a horse back in May, Sam, with this race in mind, Great Hall. We gelded him just sort of gave him a bit of time to get over that. We ran him at York then last time out in a listed handicap, and he ran a screamer, finishing third for us behind Continuum. Now, he possibly wasn't as fit as we'd have liked him going into that race, but it was always going to be used as a stepping stone for the Ebor. Yeah. So for him to be beaten only a length was a huge run, and I wouldn't swap Great Hall for anything in the race. I quietly fancy him, and 16-1 is still fair. He was 33s and 25s a few weeks back. He's been trimmed in, but rightly so. He's number 17. He's already in the race, and he's a horse I like. I think he'll do well.
Okay, fair enough then. And it is a really, really hard race to call then. As I say, 5 different selections in the Racing Post, and a 6th different selection from Sean, and we look forward to watching that one, certainly. Next up, were you overwhelmed, underwhelmed, or somewhere in between with Kingman? Referring to his win yesterday over in France. What did you make of that one? It wasn't quite the spectacle we saw at Goodwood, just because it was made a bit more easier for Kingman almost.
Yeah, they still didn't go overly quick, did they? Mm. And then they sprinted, and that's always going to suit Kingman. Yeah. He's got a very, very good turn of foot. So I'd question whether his opposition yesterday were given the best chance to beat Kingman, because he is the quickest miler around.
Yeah.
Whether they beat him anyway, no matter how the race was run, I'm not so sure, but I certainly wasn't underwhelmed with Kingman. He's won another Group 1. He's a very, very good horse. And the QE2 at the end of the season looks the perfect race for him. And for me, he's going to take a heck of a lot of beating in it.
Yeah, certainly. It's hard to ever imagine, what with yesterday's performance, that he ever has actually been beaten.
Whether the Guineas was just a blip and he just didn't show his true form as well, I think that could have been the case. Arguably a little bit unlucky not to be a classic winner, Kingman. I just think he is the best mile around, Sam, and I think when he turns up on top form, he'd beat his rivals no matter how the race unfolds.
And the final question on the Monday jury before we move on to some of Tuesday's action: give us a horse or two to follow that's caught your eye of late.
This is a tough one. It's been a little bit quiet on the racing front, hasn't it, since we had Goodwood.
Goodwood, yes.
Often the case between Goodwood and York, so we haven't had any top class racing in the UK. Of course, we've had very good racing over in France the last the last few weeks or so. Group 1 racing on consecutive Sundays, and Group 1 racing over in Deauville again this Sunday. I was in the studio on Saturday, and I saw Ballardo win the Washington Singer for Roger Varin. he was beaten by Ivywood last time out at Newmarket, but stepped up in trip here and looked a completely different proposition. Looked a very, very good horse, and I think he's going to land on a big pot in the autumn. A bit of cut in the ground seems to suit the horse, and I think he'll have no problem getting a mile. So, Bilardo could be the one horse to take out of the weekend.
Okay. All right, and fair enough. We'll move on then to take a little look now at some of Tuesday's action. Sean's picked out three races on the card for us, all of these coming from Leicester, the first of which is the 5 o'clock, and this is a Class 5, 5 furlong maiden fillies stakes. A couple of unraced types here, Sean, couple with starts under their belt. Who are you looking at?
Well, no doubt that Gay Kellaway's filly Marigot Bay made a hugely pleasing debut at Windsor just over a week ago and finishing second in a novice stakes behind Parsley. Parsley, a filly who had plenty of experience and a rating of 91 going into the race, only managed to beat her by half a length. And Marigot Bay had missed the kick as well. She was on the back foot and yet still managed to run a really, really good race. Coming out of that race, she looked to be a winner waiting to happen, and this looks a very good opportunity for her. That said, though, I was talking with Niall Hannity about this race before coming in here, and he just highlighted to me that Picture Postcard, William Haggis's filly, did hold an entry at York in a maiden a few weeks back. William Haggis didn't decide to take up that entry, but for her to be in a York maiden would suggest that she'd shown maybe above average ability. So yeah. I think Picture Postcard might give Marigot Bay something to think about. And at the prices, the likely prices, she might just be the play, William Haggis's filly.
Okay, then. Picture Postcard in that one for Sean, the 5 o'clock from Leicester. We'll move on then to another race from Leicester. This one, the 7 o'clock, over a mile, Class 4 handicap, this one. Where are we looking here, Sean? I mean, this superhero certainly jumps off the page.
Yeah, he's in great form, isn't he, Superhero, having won his last three starts, starting off a mark of 63. He's now racing off 76 and takes a step up in class. He's won three Class 5 handicaps. He's been well placed by William Muir, but steps into a 0-85, a Class 4, and I think today might be the day to take Superhero on. The horse that I'd probably take him on with would be James Fanshawe's horse, rather, Night Owl. I'd just draw a line through Night Owl's race last time out at Chester when he stumbled badly leaving the stalls. He was never on terms.
Okay.
That run wasn't him. Before that, though, he'd been holding his form quite well. Now, he's a strong travelling type who doesn't always find as much as seems likely in his races. But there's a good bit of pace in this race. I think that there'll be plenty of speed on towards the head of affairs, and that will suit at Night Owl. He's got a good partner in Shane Kelly, a jockey who is very, very good on horses that need to be patiently ridden, or more patiently ridden than some. And I think Night Owl can bounce back from that disappointing run last time out at Chester when he was unfortunate leaving the stalls. And he could be an each-way price, so he'll get the vote for me.
Okay, fair enough. Night Owl in that one for Sean, looking to take on Superhero, who chases a four-timer at Leicester on Tuesday. Final race that we'll come to on the podcast is the 8 o'clock, again from Leicester, Class 6, this one, 7 furlong handicap with 11 runners down to go to post. Who's caught the eye here?
JK is a horse who'd held a number of entries for quite a while before taking one up. But last week, he absolutely bolted up by 8 lengths, beating Shifting Bobbins. He's been well entered up subsequently, but Carl Burke has chose to run him in this race, which I think is significant. Joey Haynes is taking the ride, as he did last time out. Joey Haynes heads to Leicester after riding one at Brighton, so he got one ride at Brighton and then one on to Leicester. That could be quite significant. Okay. Him having just the one ride at each meeting. I think JK is going to prove very, very hard to beat. This isn't the strongest of races at all, and although he'll be the likely favourite, I think that's for a very good reason. He looks like he's able to operate outside of this class once more.
Okay, fair enough. 11 runners in this one, Sean. Anyone you're looking at against the field, really?
The dangers might rate at Mick Easterby's Day of the Eagle, a horse who was fourth at Haydock last time out behind Kuwait Star. His mark is slipping. He's racing off 65. This is the first time he's got into a 0-65 for quite a while. At his peak last year, he was 76, so he's dropped £11 in the ratings, and surely his turn won't be too far away. Graham Gibbons takes the ride. Probably highlight him as the main danger. Sairam Charles Smith's mare was second at Yarmouth last time out behind Johnny Skull, but I think she'll need to step up on that sort of form. So yeah, for me it would be between JK and Day of the Eagle, and I'll side with JK.
Okay, fantastic. If you could just remind us please then, Sean, one more time of your selections for Tuesday's racing from Leicester.
Yeah, no problem, Sam. In the 5 o'clock race, the first race is going to take on the likely favourite Marigot Bay with William Haggas's debutant filly Picture Postcard. Then in the 7 o'clock, we're going to go with Night Owl to get back to winning ways for James Fanshawe and Shane Kelly. And in the lucky last, the 8 o'clock, I'm siding with JK to back up a recent air demolition job under Joey Haynes for his boss, Carl Burke.
Okay, fantastic stuff. There you go then. Thoughts of Sean Quinn on the Tuesday Racing podcast. All of Tuesday's racing from Yarmouth, Brighton, Leicester, Worcester and the Irish meeting from Sligo will be right here on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast, Sean, and I hope you look forward to Ebor and Tuesday's racing as well.
Many thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.